Well, hello there. You're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney. It is a beautiful weekend in Ireland. The sun has been shining all day.
Are you the Tommy Rooney?
I'm in good form with the weather, I'll tell you that much.
Pulitzer Prize winning Tommy Rooney. I thought it was fucking Paul Kimmich there for a second I was looking at there.
Celebrity Journal. No, you had a great weekend, Tom.
Well, I didn't. I didn't have a great weekend. My power rankings took a bit of a tumble. Roscommon were caught by Tyrone. Cork bet Meath. Galway bet Kildare. But, you know, as we kind of hinted at in the last couple of weeks, Donegal did a right number on Kerry, and we're going to get into that. Some big Tailteann Cup results too we'll be talking about. It was a big weekend of football to get the All-Ireland series off, wasn't it?
It was. I'm in Lanzarote at the moment, so I was catching the game in a little Irish bar over here. So it was lovely.
What did you watch it on?
I watched it on the telly.
Sure, there was nowhere else to watch it.
No, GA Plus, baby. It did deliver. Very good. It delivered. I did watch bits of it with commentary of the rugby. Which was a bit of a disaster. But I must say, no, thoroughly enjoyed. But huge buzz about the game over here, about all the games. Huge Irish crowd over in Lanzarote. And obviously, Tommy got the place talking then after the game.
I don't think I got the place talking, did I?
No, but that was a big talking point, the interview after the game, which was
let's
great.
It took a little bit of the heat off Kerry,
I think, as well. Because I think we were well beaten in the second half. I know we only 14 men, and it does make a massive difference. I think Conor McManus spoke very well on the Saturday game about the challenges of the red card, because last year, or under the old rules, you could just get your 14 men behind the ball and be tighter. But now you're looking at only 10 defenders.
I get that. But hold on, before we get into the rest of it, they were so bad with 14. Cork are down to 14 against Meath. And maybe this is more to do with Meath than it is to do with Kerry. But Cork held on against Meath after losing Conor McCallaghan. I wonder, Paddy, what your feeling was on this. Obviously, Kerry are down a lot of bodies, but they're also down an awful lot of pace. And it felt like they were lacking that bit of pace to move the ball up the field and even get any sort of return in the second half, because they were so bad.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Jack O'Connor and Keane O'Neill and those guys, and even the Kerry players, are experienced enough not to just ride off. The second half, the first half was brilliant. I thought it was a really good game. I thought there was real positives on both sides for both Kerry and Donegal. Micheál Byrne's red card could have ruined the game, but it's still not an excuse for Kerry's performance in the second half. And I don't think Jack O'Connor will push over and just say, we were down to 14 men. I do accept being down to 40 men against a team like Donegal, they're probably the worst team you want to be down to 40 men against, particularly when they have their noses in front. I thought Donegal were excellent in terms of controlling the game. And yeah, the flip side, the next match we watched, Colin O'Callaghan gets a very, very innocuous red card, and you think Cork showed that it doesn't necessarily mean that the game is over. There was very much an element of Kerry raised up the white flag in the second half, which we'll get into in more detail. So, yes, it did have an impact on the game, Micheál Byrne sending off, but I think there was far deeper issues what we seen for Kerry in that second half. Just a complete collapse in terms of their game management, in terms of how they use the ball, their skills, their decision-making. It was like, I spoke about it on air after a match, it was they just lost complete emotional control after the round. It was like Donegal obviously kept them waiting to come out in the second half, and okay, Jack O'Connor wouldn't have known that Hurson was going to send off Micheál Byrne. Probably had a fair idea that someone was going to get a red card from it, but Kerry just didn't respond at all. I mean, they're down 5, 6, 7, 8 points, and they're still dropping back, allowing Donegal to have these 2 and 3 and 4 minute bouts of possession. You have to take a risk there. I know it's hard. It's horrendously difficult to do. You're chasing the game, but Kerry just didn't do that. And there was like no leadership there, nothing coming in from the line. When they had the ball, it was like so un-Kerry-like, not finishing out attacks, bad decision-making, poor shots, even Clifford himself. It just like, we've all had games like that, lads, where you might be down a man and your teams are frustrating, you know, keeping the ball for 3 or 4 minutes. It's hell to play against. There's no getting away from it. It's when you do get possession, you start panicking, you start rushing. But Kerry should be better than that. Kerry are better than that with the players they have. And what we've seen in terms of the intensity in the second half, their decision-making, their mental sharpness, it was like the Rao just completely poleaxed them. As good as Donegal were, Kerry were awful in the second half. And it's the kick and the hole they need. They were in a similar spot last summer when they lost to Meath by 9 points and they turned it around. But the nature of this championship, they're hoping for a relatively kind draw. They need their bodies back. That is, you're talking about Pace, Gavin White and these guys. Joe O'Connor at least was back on the pitch. Shane Ryan, Shaun O'Shea, Tom Sullivan weren't even talked out. At least Paddy seemed to get through the 40 minutes. He wasn't at his best. Obviously, Rorty did an exceptional job, but at least it didn't look like an injury. If Kerry are going to do something, they need those boys back quickly and they need the draw to be kinder to them. They need to get to Croke Park in the quarterfinal. But that second half display was not just Micheál Burns' red card. It was terrible from Kerry. Really, really bad.
Yeah, and obviously, go, James.
I think you're nearly doing Donegal a disservice there because in the second half they were absolutely on it. No, the style of football they play is so around ball retention, right? Like if you have every man on the field, they are going to pass you and probe you to death. And in fairness to them in the second half, they kept the pitch so wide. They kept going from side to side into the middle. There'll be a little gap. And they actually created a couple of goal chances that they didn't go for. They just took their points. They played a brilliant, brilliant second half. I agree with some of the things you're saying, Paddy, but I don't think that Kerry were as bad as you're making out because even in the first half, I thought Kerry played some good football.
Yeah.
If you look at the players that Kerry actually had on the field, like 15 for 15, Donegal were the stronger team by a mile. And they've already beaten them in Ballyshannon comfortably and in the National League final comfortably. So Kerry were underdogs anyway. And once they went out to four,
they weren't actually. They were favourites on the day, and that line
by
the bookies. The bookies very rarely get it wrong, James. Like don't be here. Hold on a second now. Don't be sitting on the football pod and saying that Kerry were underdogs in Killarney on Saturday because they weren't.
They got this twice already from Donegal,
but they weren't underdogs, missing. James.
Paddy,
Tommy, quit flying that kite. Stop flying that kite here. Like.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway.
Go on, Kerry's, Jimmy.
Kerry's 15, and you can't make excuses from injuries or whatever, but 15 for 15, Donegal are the better team at the moment. There's no doubt about that. They've already shown it twice. The red card was a deserved red card, 100%, and it changed the course of the game. It changed the course of the game. It was actually a brilliant game in the first half, and Kerry would have been attacking with the wind. It was done at halftime. Now, you might make an argument, psychologically, fair enough, there's a question mark. Did Kerry believe after red card they were going to win the game? Just completely wipe them? Because it did look like they took a hit, not just in terms of numbers. They took a hit kind of in the head because they didn't get going at all. But that is credit to Donegal. I think they're outstanding at that type of play. And they showed their quality.
Jimmy, you could see it in the body language of the Kerry players. I agree. I thought Kerry did loads of good stuff in the first half. I thought Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien were brilliant at midfield.
Yeah.
I thought the Kerry press, they had Mulroney in absolutely all sorts of trouble. I thought, again, the intensity. They switched off. Donegal got the most classic Donegal goal at the start of the game for Kieran Moore. Just a probing run and one Kerry defender switches off and they lose the transfer. That's what Donegal are waiting for. Kerry will know that. I'd say they're tearing their hair out for that to happen in literally the first attack nearly. But there was lots of good stuff. That Dylan Gainey was back. He showed that was Dylan Gainey's best 35 minutes for Kerry, definitely this season. You feel like he's fully back now from the success he had, obviously, with the club scene. So there were positives for Kerry. And before the row and before the sending off, you're thinking, Cliffy's going to hit at least 2 or 3 2-pointers in the second half with that breeze, and this game is going to the wire. I totally agree. No one is disputing Micheál Burns' red card had an influence on the game, but it was their response to that, which is the worrying thing. And like I said, with the next match we've seen the exact opposite. Now, Meath are nowhere. We'll get on to Meath, and their short failings were full display for the last 20 minutes in that match after a red card. If they don't score on their first transition, they don't score at all. So you're talking with chalk and cheese between Meath and where Donegal are.
You are
masters at this.
But it's almost impossible, Paddy, to compare the two because Donegal are so seasoned at that. They do not give the ball away at the best of times, playing 11 on 10 in that situation, they were never going to give it away. They were so composed, playing good football. They, and by the way, both teams were so up for it. Like, I'd love to have
the
been...
The first half was
we
brilliant.
Always say,
first
yeah,
half
love
was
to say,
brilliant.
Yeah, to be a fly on the wall in both dressing rooms, like, there was no doubt, even proving what happened at halftime. Jim McGuinness had Donegal absolutely jumping out of their skin for that game. Like, they were so hyped up for it. And in fairness, I thought the Kerry were the same. And you could even see it before throwing, both teams went at it. It was going to be that physical game. And it just, it's a pity it spilled over.
Can I ask Paddy about that? Because shortly before throwing, I popped down to the sideline. I wanted to get a little bit of a read in the wind, and I bumped into Mike Finnerty, and we were talking about potential team changes, and we knew there was team changes coming. There were four for Donegal and two for Kerry. And Mike was just telling me, and I don't know where you're feeling this, Paddy, but the feeling that there's a bit of real tension here, like this is going to start with proper, but like, could you really feel it bubbling up? Like, what was your view? You were probably positioned right behind the throw-in where Michael Murphy gets met by four Kerry fellas right from the get-go. Maybe there's Irish Times subscribers.
Yeah, we were behind that goal, yeah.
They must have been reading Daryl O'Shea's column saying that somebody should have lamped Murphy when he lamped Casey back in the day, because they were right in on him straight away.
You know, there was about 4 hours before the match started, but I think that's all fine. That's all normal. There's no doubt, right? Kerry went out and they're targeting Michael Murphy. Donegal went out and were targeting both the Cliffords. And that's Donegal learning their lessons from the All-Ireland Final. Rorty, like Jim McGuinness, has come out of that pains to say he'd no regrets from the All-Ireland Final and wouldn't have changed it. But clearly he has. And Rorty was all over Paddy Clifford and did an exceptional job. And they went after David Clifford. That is nothing new to those three players. That is normal for the best player on the opposing teams. Michael Murphy and David Clifford, since they were about 14 or 15 years of age, have been targeted in every match they play. In some games, it's a bit more nefarious than others, but they're big, strong boys. Paddy Clifford the same. They are well able to look after themselves, and I thought that's what was happening around the pitch. There was lots of scuffles, bits and bobs. Paddy McBride was doing his best to try and get Davy Clifford set up. I didn't think Clifford's thing was that bad.
Well, a lot of people look at it, and I know there's a slowdown version. Like, he absolutely meets McGonagall cold.
Yeah, I still don't think it's a. I don't think it's a red card. Put it that way.
The arm is high. Like, I'd love to hear James on this. James, what was your feeling from Lanzarotti?
Is this the first incident or the brawl?
The brawl is not the first. That's an overreaction. Yeah.
The first Clifford one, I think he's caught him high. In fairness, I don't think it was probably meant. If he got sent off, I probably couldn't have argued, if I'm being honest. Like, he does catch him kind of in the above the chest, and it's kind of in the throat slash into the chin. If he does get sent off, I don't think it would have been a scandal, put it that way.
Yeah.
No, it's missed. It's off the ball. The second one is a great shoulder, right? No, the thing that kind of causes it is that when
Clifford hits the shoulder.
Okay, it's a shoulder after the hooter. Okay, relax. Right,
his a buzzer beater.
The way his technique is, kind of shoulder him and his arm kind of scooted up, right? And it looked maybe at the start that he might have caught him high, but from that is where the trouble was. Yeah. Everyone sprints towards the incident, right, and towards the referee, and next thing the whole thing has gone out of control. So it's actually fair enough. There was a hit, but there wasn't much in it.
No.
And afterwards, everyone is sprinting towards the referee. And suddenly there's...
Doesn't that show, Jimmy, where the teams mentally were at that pitch? Because, look, they know.
Yeah, but...
There's a big rivalry there. These are the two best teams. I still have them. I know Armagh had a good month. Galway, the Rossies kind of show today their failings as well. These teams know, realistically, you know, if they're going to win the All-Ireland, they have to beat each other. They had history from last year, obviously already this season as well. That brings an edge to these type of games. Obviously then there was a Murphy incident in the league final, which wasn't great. That was missed. That was clearly a red card. We said it at the time. Kerry rightly feel aggrieved with that, going, hold on a sec, Jesus Christ. And there was a bit, like, maybe Clifford and a lot of the Kerry players were responding to that. And that's normal as well. I accept that. But I thought a lot of the scuffles around the pitch were innocuous enough. I didn't think the Clifford thing was a red card. Okay, Jimmy, that's very admirable of you. I think it could have been. Coldrick was on that sideline as well, a really good ref, and Hurston's one of the best in the business as well. The row, even at half time, was...
It's a circus, isn't it?
90% of it. 95% of that is fine. The issue is Micheál Burns comes in and you get someone in a headlock and hit them with an uppercut.
I disagree. Because the problem is caused when fellas leave their own positions and sprint down to the incident. Right? And next thing, you're standing there, you're watching, and next thing, your man sprints down into the area. All you're going to do is follow him, and next thing, your back is up. It causes the problem.
Jimmy, if it's left to just, this is the point I was making, and we said this after the Dublin-Galway thing where this was an issue at the end of the league, if it's just the 30 players on the pitch and the ref, this has happened since day one in the history of GAA. There's lots on the line, tensions are high, lads get involved, and it's going to happen forever and a day. You're not going to stop Malise, Shamaza. These are words made up literally over the last 100 years to talk about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
The issue is, if there's rows, let the 30 players figure it out and the referee. Anyone else coming in off the sideline, these fucking heroes, Mair Iscus, selectors, managers yesterday, managers in the Dublin-Galway game, which is going to be set a precedent for what's potentially going to happen to Donegal here, or substitutes or fans at worst. When you start getting people coming off onto the pitch who are should have no business being there, that's when this gets absolute chaos. And that's what we've seen again yesterday. And that leads to, like, if you're the coaches on the sideline, I get it. You're seeing one of your players is busted open or something has happened and it's a bad act. You have to, I know it's not easy, but you cannot sprint in there. Let your teammates, the players on the pitch, deal with that or the referee. You running in causes absolute chaos. And the issue yesterday, McGuinness goes in, gets involved, I think it was Dermot O'Connor or whoever, shouldn't be in there. Ryan McHugh, I get it. It's a bad act by Burns, but he gets his red card. He's suspended. I'm sure he regrets doing it. That's not a good act. He'll pay the price for that. But we've seen it. The issue that Donegal are going to have, and your thing with McGuinness afterwards, Tommy, totally fair question, because everyone was looking at it. The whole country's talking about it. The Dublin-Galway game, at the end of the league, there's some hero from the Galway backroom team runs in and starts shouldering Brian Howard, a player, which he has no business being there. What the fuck are you doing in there, pal? Get out of there. And then Ger Brennan comes in, because he feels aggrieved. Ger's the same. You shouldn't be anywhere near it. Get out of there. He gets involved and gets a 12-week ban. I think anyone who enters the pitch who was not in the 30 players of the ref should get a ban. So Ger, yeah, and that Galway backroom team member should get a ban. I think 12 weeks was absolutely excessive for it, but I agree with the GAA. If people are entering the pitch that shouldn't be there, you've got to pay the price for that. And what the GAA have done now and what we're going to see over the next couple of days, because this thing ain't going away, McGuinness's reaction hasn't helped it, is they've backed themselves into a corner now. If Jim McGuinness goes in and puts his hands on Dermot O'Connor, you can look around and go, well, this happened 2 months ago and we gave the Dublin manager 12 weeks. I think Jim McGuinness is going to get a ban. Well, you know, and the GAA have backed themselves into the corner by doing this only 2 months ago. I thought it was excessive with Ger Brennan. I think 4 weeks was plenty. I think he deserved the ban because he entered the pitch and you start throwing your weight around. You should not be doing that. And the same with McGuinness yesterday. No matter how aggrieved he is that Ryan McHugh was on the floor with a busted eye, you've got 14 other Donegal lads on the pitch that can help sort that. You going in there does not help it. Despite the tensions running.
Well, just to be clear, let me just to be clear to go back on what Paddy's saying there. Will McGuinness get a ban? We won't know until Thursday. And a lot does depend on the referee's report. A lot depends on Sean Hurston's report. And I suppose the little difference that was there is that after the Galway Dublin game, Brennan's incident was cited by the referee and the CCC dealt with it and his appeals went through and they were all rejected the appeals and he got his 12-week ban. We're going to have to wait and see. The CCC are going to look at this. Like, there's no getting away from it. The Examiner reporting today that fines are definitely expected and there's a couple of incidents that they're going to be looking at. But it all depends on what is in Sean Hurston's report.
People coming onto the pitch.
Oh, sorry, Paddy.
It creates chaos.
I'm fully with you on that. And I guess my question yesterday to Jim McGuinness and, you know, these post-match press conferences I've spoken before about how strange a situation they can be at times. You know, a manager surrounded by maybe 10 or 12 of my colleagues and we're trying to get to certain points and you're trying to cover the things that you feel are important in the game. I think the way I framed the question originally was, are you worried given how penal the GAA ban on Ger Brennan was? Because it was obvious that he had got involved with Dermot O'Connor, and the ban that Ger Brennan received was for any physical interference with an opposing player or team official from a manager or player outside of the 30 on the field. That is what the ban is. And this was voted through 3 years ago, and we're all well aware of it. And I would have thought that every manager would have looked at Ger Brennan. And most people have said, Paddy, as you have said, 12 weeks is excessive. 12 weeks for that is a lot. And it's a big punishment. And probably what Ger did...
I don't think the punishment fits the crime. But I do think if you're going in onto a pitch and putting your hands on a player or another official, it's...
But it also leads...
It needs to be stamped out. I'm not trying to be fucking Hella Lovejoy from The Simpsons here. Like,
no, you're not.
I would also say that something more
could come from an incident like that too. I'm not sure either of you would have been in the middle of a brawl like this if one had taken place. I know maybe you've been in the... That might be harsh. I know you have. But if another manager or a member of the backroom team get involved, it's different when it's the 30, as you said, Paddy. It's a chance to absolutely blow up from there. And there's a very...
That's what I mean. That's the point I'm making.
Probably very lucky that it didn't go any further on the field between McGuinness and the Kerry players as well.
But can I say one thing, Tom? I don't think anyone wants to see McGuinness bend, right? It's not going to do the championship any favours. It's just not a good look anyway. That said... He's let his team down. He's let the Donegal players down. He's too excited, too emotional, coming onto the field, pointing fingers, jumping up and down. It looks desperate. It looks like he's lost control. And then obviously it's an innocuous enough push, but it's just the fact, his whole demeanor. If he gets banned, I think he's let Donegal down badly because their name is almost on the trophy. And now you're going to probably take your manager away for 12 weeks. It's an absolute disaster for them if he's banned. And there's going to be lots of talk about whether he will get banned or won't. Under no circumstances am I saying that anyone should be banned for 12 weeks. But he's put himself in the position that that could now happen. And if it does, he's let his team down badly.
Yeah, well, genuinely,
Jimmy, your point, Tommy, your point there, he lost control. You could see it in his body language. And like, we're all humans here, lads, and we've been in teams that we care about, obviously cared about our teammates and our players. And he looks down at Ryan McHugh, who he's coached for basically a huge part of Ryan McHugh's career.
Since he was a kid.
And he's bust open. And he feels aggrieved by that. I get that feeling. You know, I'm not, again, there's a human side to this here. You have a responsibility as the coach. You know what I mean? And even on McGarrett is coming in on the Kerry side. I know he's more of a peacemaker side of things. But again, him being in there, it's nearly like a red rag to the bull. And it's just the scenes. It carried on all the way down to the tunnel as well. There was lots of other stuff going on. Nothing as serious, but it was right on the edge of boiling over here. And it just keeps coming back to the point of, if you've guys who are not meant to be on the pitch coming in, whether it's the manager in this instance, Jim McGuinness, or selectors or substitutes even coming down, you see lads running into it. It just leads to chaos. And I agree, Jimmy. You don't want to see Jim McGuinness banned. You know, he's such an influential figure, critical for what Donegal are doing going forward. But there's also an element where the GAA have backed themselves at the corner by what they did at the end of the league. And there's also the end, we're going, we do have to stamp this out. We have to put a punishment in place that stops this happening, because coaches running onto the pitch, managers, selectors, it's a disaster, and it will get worse unless it's clamped out. So whether it's 12 weeks or not, they might wrangle away to get it down to 4, and you could be back for a quarter final, semi-final, but we'll have to wait and see.
12 or nothing, is it?
I think it'll be 12 or nothing, and it all will depend on Hurston's report. And I am exactly like the 2EE. When I cover a Donegal game, I want to be talking to Jim McGuinness after the game. I do think he's box office, and I do think he brings an awful lot to the game, and obviously has driven Donegal to such incredible heights. I would say, like, you know, I obviously talk to managers after games every weekend of the year, and I've been doing it for a couple of years in this role with Off the Ball. you know, I was interviewing Ger Brennan after he got the suspension. I've interviewed John Kiely in very precarious positions for himself. I didn't think it was that controversial a question. And I actually thought Jim McGuinness could have answered it 100 ways and we all would have moved on. And I would also say it was quite an experienced group of journalists in the room. I'm telling you now, if I hadn't asked the question, one of my colleagues would have asked the question. And I heard Martin King and Eric Roberts, two good Donegal men, on TV3 this morning.
Martin King's a dope, Tommy. Jesus.
A dope, sorry. But Derek Roberts obviously talking about it too. And Martin King made the point that if... Martin King made the point that if...
Martin King's having a field day with this weather this week. Sunny everywhere this week. 28 degrees. Happy birthday to Tommy.
If McGuinness was asked what he had for dinner that evening, he probably would have responded in the manner in which he did. He probably would have. And, like, I can understand... How
is that not surprising? Like the fact that Donegal won by 10 points, how spiky he was. Like it's not just McGuinness. Like the managers are like that, fucking. They're very sensitive. After every match, Tommy, I don't envy you going in there or any of the press pack going in asking these questions. You're right.
I enjoy it to be
but,
honest.
But it was surprising because the game had gone so well after that. You know, in terms of beating your biggest rivals comfortably and. Back to the football side of things, you were going, the body's back from injury, Jason McGee, Langan getting back out there as well.
You've got Gallen looked really good.
Gallen looked really sharp again for 50 minutes, took him off again, but that's okay. Shea Malone comes on and gets a goal.
We're not even talking about the job that the likes of Rorty and McCall did.
But that's what I mean, they're big players. Kieran Moore was exceptional. Langan showed his All-Ireland final performance was just an aberration. There's a guy going in, possibly winning Footballer of the Year if he performs in the All-Ireland final last year and just doesn't show up, where Leake finally gets man of the match. Yesterday, 5 points from play, absolutely dominant. And you would have thought Jim McGuinness was relatively happy that game was gone, but clearly, maybe not.
I think McGuinness was... I think he'd forgotten about it and was surprised at the question because he gets so worried about the question for, like, 10 seconds and then he goes back to being calm and reserved again afterwards, but it was like the shock going, shite, am I in trouble here? Is he right?
Realization.
I think, like, you're right, he could have answered the question so easily, just downplayed it, but I think he's after making it an even bigger story with
his reaction. Made it worse, definitely. Yeah.
He definitely made it worse. And that's your job, Tom.
And to be honest, you know, the GA Plus cameras were on the ground. GA Plus, you know, there was a lot of talk about GA Plus in the build-up to this game, and, you know, it was on. I heard Alan Milton, head of the communications on A Morning Ireland, talking about it, and there was plenty of conversation. Have you noticed that Jim, you probably missed this, Jim Furyk, USA Ryder Cup
captain,
has just been talking.
Was he another pundit, was he? He's just about 800 pundits yesterday. we had Jim Furyk coming in from Brady's, dialing in.
Everyone wanted the game. In Killarney. There was about 12 of you in the photo at one stage. All with mics, Aisling interviewing you. I don't know how anyone got a word in.
Yeah, I've been sent a lot of AI-generated photos this weekend. I did enjoy
some of that is AI. Some of that is. Go on, Jim Furyk.
I was trying to tell you that Jim Furyk has been watching hurling on GA Plus over the last couple of months. And he attended his first hurling game today. Bit of a damp squib, Limerick and Tipperary. but
Jack, was he at it?
Yeah, he was
Jim
at
Furyk
it.
Was at that?
He was at it. Sporting Limerick have the interview. Go look it out after the pod.
Very good.
Have we finished with Killarney? Like, the second half was such a letdown. Donegal were bloody awesome. Jim McGuinness probably should have answered that question a little differently and not got involved in the row. I don't know how much more we can say about it at this stage.
I think rile the Kerry people up, the Bruin and Michael Murphy I thought was a bit much.
It was pathetic.
No, I thought that was a bit much.
Yeah, pantomimes.
Jimmy in the ground. It was like
he's Michael Murphy. He's going to get a little bit of
it's a bit much
booing anyway. Plus, he concussed Dylan Casey.
Have a bit of class. Just come on.
A bit much.
That's not us. Like, we're not. It's not. It's not the Premier League. Like, that is not. That is not how we.
What do you mean? Not us.
That is not how we deal with things.
You carry as well.
I have no counties apart from my own.
No, it's game. It's fun. You're supposed to take a little bit of bit of that as a top player, for God's sake. Everyone's doing it.
Well, maybe if they hadn't expended so much energy on maybe getting back on Michael Murphy on the field and off the field, they may have been able to get their team going a bit in the second half. Because Tony Brosnan kicked their first score of the game in the second half in the bloody 50th minute. And I think we're going to skirt by it now because there's way more games to get to. But I would be very interested to see two things from this game. I think a lot of teams will learn from Kerry's press that Paddy mentioned earlier from the 7th to the 11th minute. There are five men on the full forward line, four out the field. They ate Donegal alive and they got 4 points in the spin. A lot of teams will learn from that this summer in club and championship and county. And also Kerry's inability to put any sort of a squeeze on when they were a man down in the second half was pretty pathetic as All-Ireland champions, I would say.
I think they'll learn a lot from it, though. I think that's the kick in that mold they need. They need bodies back. There's no getting away from that. And like if Kerry get to Croke Park in the quarterfinal and they have four or five of those players back, they're a completely different proposition. I think every team under this format the last couple of seasons has a performance in them where they might lose a game or they're absolutely brutal and they bounce back. It's very hard to be top of the pops for 8-9 championship games in a row over the course of 2 months. Kerry will hope that's their ghetto jail card is used now. They've got to be better going forward. And Jack O'Connor alluded to it after. He's one of the most experienced best coaches in the game. He knows what he's at. And a lot of those Kerry players do. It's a case of, right, we need to get back there. What the fuck happened in that second half after being a man down? That can happen in a game, but our response was nowhere near good enough. They'll debrief. They've got to look for a decent draw in round two. There's some tough games going to be in there as well, but they've just got to get to Croke Park for their quarterfinal with bodies, and they're still a force. But yesterday was
there. The team that Kerry had out on paper wasn't going to match Donegal, right? And then the red card, just it was going to be a whitewash second half, right? Now, if Kerry, and in fairness, in Jack O'Connor's interview after the game, he looked completely demoralised. Because he knows they're going to be under pressure. I don't know what the story is with the injuries, but you have to have Gavin White, Tom Sullivan, Sean O'Shea, and Joe O'Connor at least. Yeah, Breen Begley came on.
Joe O'Connor got on. So
if you can get those fellas on and fit, you have a chance. But that said, I've been in that position myself. Mm. You're not fit. You're coming into a red hot championship.
Yeah.
How ready are you going to actually be? So that's why I think that Jack was a bit downtrodden, because I think he knows they're going to be under pressure. That said, one or two results can get you back up and running. But Donegal have to be the ones to take the credit here. They came down to Killarney. They got to a level of, you know, manic aggression that eventually spilled over on the Kerry side, and they won the game handy in the end. That said, there's going to be a long summer there yet.
But McGuinness made a very interesting point.
Two whites in the whole match.
Unbelievable.
You know, in terms of their efficiency, precision in their attack, when they do, they're so hard to play against when they do that. That's why their down match, 4 weeks ago, Donegal had a performance like this. It was terrible. It was so un-Donegal. Like, they turned it around, they bounced back. You're telling me Kerry can't do that?
It got buried, but McGuinness made a very good point later in the press conference when he spoke about Donegal losing the All-Ireland final in the physicality stakes in the first 20 minutes, and they could never get up to speed after that. It was quite interesting listening to that. And the other thing is, it's after going out of my head. Paddy, are we missing anything else from Killarney before we move on? Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Think we've checked all the boxes there. James, anything before we move on?
No, not on that. Only it's a week to forget for Kerry, and Donegal cemented their place in my eyes as probable favourites.
I think
if this goes there, if this doesn't go their way, Jim McGuinness gets banned, it's going to derail them. I know that you can pull in and you can say the world's against us, and God, how many times has that been done before? That look, they're trying to screw us now again with this ban. People throw their eyes up to heaven at that. If McGuinness gets banned, it's going to be a serious factor come July.
Yeah, well, I think his comments have certainly taken the heat off Kerry this week too, and Jack O'Connor and that team, because it was a record defeat, and not all anybody is talking about is the post-match interview, unfortunately. Like, so
yeah, well, the record defeat thing for Kerry, look, it lasts the last in a championship match. It was 10 points. They already lost by that margin. Donegal were 20 points up at one stage in the National League final.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, Donegal are flying, absolutely red hot. The Down game, fair enough, was a blip, but they're going to power on. Kerry need to get to a level that they haven't got to this year, and it's going to take bodies coming back to get there. Yeah, I know the teams say, oh, look at our panel, and you'd always hear things. I used to hear things coming out of the Dublin dressing room. Oh, the AVBs, the Bs are beating the As.
We were, Jimmy. There's a reason. Fucking
there's
unbelievable
a reason. There's a reason. The A's are the A's and the B's are the B's.
Yeah, well, look,
there were other matches this weekend as well. And Tommy, fair play as a journalist, you should have asked that question.
Next.
Yeah. Are you completely going as Piers Morgan, though? Tommy Kimmage. Piers Morgan Kimmage. Rooney. Tommy Paul Kimmage Rooney.
I don't think that is a...
Celebrity Journal.
Yeah. What about Meade, Tommy? Like, come on, you've been burying Meade for 35 minutes on the pod. 8 points up, cruising, under two-pointers, what's Cork all over the shop, and just...
Wow, Cork deserve, lads, serious.
Sherlock, credit here. 13 well, points.
Hang on, if Kerry are pathetic, what are Meade?
Hold on now, James, we got in trouble last
summer. You
said
Kerry are pathetic, huh?
This is very similar to the word soft being used last year. I said their second half display and man down was pathetic. It's not that, like,
right.
They didn't lay
That's exactly
they didn't lay
what
close.
I quoted.
No, you said Kerry were very good in the first half. And as we all had outlined, if it was 15 on 15 with the wind in the second half, you'd have expected them to kick on, even when they're down so many bodies. Kerry aren't. And they're still favourites for the All-Ireland, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they are.
Are they?
There. Yeah.
Kerry are still favourites. Okay.
Still favourites of the Ireland. So, you know, it was laughable that you suggested they were underdogs and they weren't. Even though I felt going in looking at the teams, like you did maybe, that I thought Donegal would win. But they're not underdogs.
Okay. In the eyes of some bookie, maybe not.
Lads,
in the eyes
come of on. The There's other games, lads. Public. You can't keep going on. Jimmy's on his holidays there. Come on.
And as pathetic as Kerry's inability to deal with, you know, a man down in the second half, Meade's inability to take advantage of Colin McCallaghan's red card is deplorable. It was deplorable. They just couldn't get ahead.
Pathetic on the phone.
You get a thesaurus over.
I have one. Hold on.
Give me more words for bad.
But you've got to go, like, lads, Sherlock's 2-pointers in the second half. It was like the Munster Club final again. The winning point outside of the right was exceptional, but he gets 2 2-pointers in a minute. They 12 points in 10 minutes, before the sending off. So the die was cast with Meade, and it was like, after watching the first half, you're going to think Cork had the goal chances, loads of endeavour, which we know they have, but just that little bit of quality up front they were missing. And Meade, you know, through Frayne and Conlon, more so than Costello and Jordan Morris, were like, everything we love about Meade, throwing the shackles off, really expressed themselves, exciting, kicking the ball, kicking 2-pointers. And it was like, okay, you're 8 points up here. You're into Division One. You're on this journey, getting better and better as a team. See this game out. Can you Donegal it? Can you carry it? You know, in the first half of that game, both teams have bouts of possession against really organised set defences and they can work a score. With Meade, you feel the next stage of the revolution is to be able to start controlling games. We know they can do the exciting Harlem Globetrotter stuff, but this issue of if they don't score after first phase of attack, like, they seem completely lost. They start just shooting Hail Marys. And we all love Robbie Brennan and the way they play and his effervescence, and even after the match yesterday, talk, you know, really positive about things. But if they're going to become a serious team, every game isn't going to be a shootout. You need times and periods in a game, particularly opposition are down to 14 men. Widen the pitch, keep the ball, be maybe a boring shower of bastards and just grind that game out. But they had absolutely no capability to do that. They had no capability to shut down Cork's momentum, and they're caught. And that is the next stage of their evolution. And there's a reason. I know they're looking to win a Leinster Championship. They were in a semi-final, probably definitely ahead of schedule last year. But they're in Division 1 next year. They need to start being able to cope with that. And they're still in this Championship. But to be in the position they were in at half-time, and then particularly with the sending off, to just completely lose the run of it, and then their attack malfunctions, Cork gets some semblance of organisation in their back line, and the Meade have no answers and just start shooting for Hail Marys. That's the reality of where they're at. And I thought it was stark for them yesterday. It was outside the result, it was a reality check for that Meade team.
And they've already got one a couple of weeks ago. I think that's a fairly good summary. I kind of felt watching it back this morning, Paddy, it was like Kerry Donegal was on the cusp of being one of the best games that we might have witnessed under these new rules. That obviously peters out. This was like watching maybe that United Bournemouth 4-4 draw where it was all
like, Tommy, it was like watching a Division 2 match because that's what it was.
Yeah, it was.
That
it
you're watching the two best teams in the country in terms of you make a mistake, you are punished. Like Mulroney's in the shit on his kick out, but the ones Donegal win, it's straight up and it's a score.
Yeah.
Kerry keep their bouts of possession. It was like it was a Division 2 match we were looking at. And Cork don't have all the answers either, lads. I know it was a good win yesterday and Sherlock Ryder over stuff. Chris Oak-Jones, your favourite player, Jimmy, had a howler in front of the post. So they still have those issues.
He's going through a lean run.
He's going through a lean ever since you've been picking him up on the pod.
I know.
What did you think of the red card?
If you're giving red cards for that, everyone will be sent off. He's gone for a
I thought it was the same as Clifford's one. I thought it was the same as we're talking about Clifford. It's just it was not a red card, it was an open hand, and
it happened so fast.
Can I speak?
Let me speak. If I speak, I will be in trouble.
Yeah.
I
prefer not to speak.
James has already gone on the record about the first Clifford incident, that he was lucky to get away with it, a raised arm. I don't think O'Callaghan
he could have been sent off because he caught him a little bit high.
I misquoted you. And O'Callaghan's unlucky, but it is a high arm to the face. And like, this is...
It's on the ball though. It's on the ball. They've competed in the air. He's come down.
Yeah.
There's hands everywhere, and it's a little bit of a handoff push. It's never right there.
He's certainly unlucky, and he's certainly very hard done by, given some of the high shoulders and maybe arms to the face that was in the Kerry Donegal game that went, you know, unpunished.
So, I'm obsessed with the Kerry Donegal game. Can we get to the Cork and Meath game, if you don't mind, please?
All right, James,
can I say one thing
James,
about
give me,
Meath?
Give me your breakdown of Cork and Meath. Let's hear what you thought from
the I have the same...
You watched it on GAA Plus as well.
I was. I still have the same reservations about Meath, right? I saw the Cork attack in Killarney.
Yeah.
Against
Kerry. They were different though this time.
It was, they were toothless. They were short of ideas, short of quality. Right? And then their full back line, Meath's full back line, allow Sherlock to kick 4 2-pointers in the second half. Now, granted, they are phenomenal scores, but Jesus, everyone knows, stop Sherlock. They're chasing a lead. He's going to pull the trigger. Get bodies around him. And the same thing happened in the league final. The fullback line was not able to mark that type of a forward where he's just ghosting around, getting on the end and pulling the trigger like that. He gets hand to foot.
It's reckless.
It was so good.
He is top. He's probably the best kicker in the country at the moment. But Jesus, get bodies around him and block him down. Get around him. Don't let him be the hero. No, that's not taking anything away from Sherlock. I thought his scores, especially the outside the right one, was absolutely magnificent.
I actually think the one, there's two two-pointers within 40 seconds in the 45th minute.
Phenomenal.
You know the one where he drops it from like
that? He volleys it over the bar.
But it is
exceptional.
Just on Sherlock, what did Foley do so well on him in the? Was it Foley on him in the Munster final? Because
he
couldn't kick the ball 40 yards in Clarny.
No, Foley put him onto his left leg 4 times in a row, and Sherlock dribbled 2 or 3 of them short. And next thing, the puff was gone out of him. It was brilliant defending, pushing him onto bad side. But I think the Kerry
really have a bad side, but yeah.
But also, his Tommy,
leg is just absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. But like the thing is, he's
playing into a Gale Force wind as well. Like,
yeah.
And Sherlock, as good a shooter as he is, he's to be like, he's not going to burn by you. You know, he's not a brilliant ball winner. He's not going to skin you on the outside. He's a great jink. His stardust is his shot.
Yeah.
And if you're playing into a Gale Force wind, which they were in the Munster final, and Foley's all over you, he's easily nullified. But yesterday, I'm looking going, get down like Keoghan to bear hug this fella and just what Donegal were trying to do to David Clifford, and Paddy Clifford, what Kerry were trying to do to Michael Murphy. You need to be nasty around this and just keep this guy out of the game. Because outside of him, Mark Cronin was okay. Brian O'Driscoll wasn't having his heroic 2 points, which he normally has. But if Meath are going to close that game out, we're talking about the next stage of development. You've got to control something like that. Go identify this guy's, and the whole country knows Sherlock can do this. But he gets up, you got to take him out of the game. So it's just,
I think it was a tactical mistake by them that they were going in at halftime 8 points up. They're in control of the game. And you're thinking, worst case scenario, how can we lose this game? The only way we can lose it is if we concede a ball of goals or Sherlock gets hot. And they let Sherlock get hot. But if you notice as well, I think we spoke about this before, Tommy, with the new rules, with the two-pointer,
yeah,
the dummy is on outside the arc constantly because teams are coached to go for the block. Just dive on the boot, go for the block, and take your chances of someone else coming in to be the next defender, or else they're after sneaking inside the arc and they only get 1 point if they dummy you. But every forward seems to have that dummy solo or dummy hop in the locker.
Conlon had a beautiful double dummy and outside of the right in the second half. No, it didn't go over. But
the dummy of the weekend was Rob Finnerty's. The man was on fire. Did you see his dummy from like 60, like he's 50 yards out and he sends his dummy.
1-9 from play.
Oh,
now Kildare.
Beautiful.
Kildare are potentially a little bit out of their depth here. They particularly got a tough draw for them coming over to Galway last night. But Galway kind of going under the radar. It wasn't the biggest game of the weekend. Obviously that was the game in Killarney and even today with the Rossies. But it was a good draw for Galway and more minutes into all of their guys. And they're just cruising through. He's really talking about them as much. But to get Walsh and Comer back out there, Finnerty again, 1-9. More minutes into McDade, Matty Tierney, all their big hitters. So they have bigger tests ahead. But
Conroy, in terms of me,
they were impressive, but you're taking into account they're playing essentially a Division 3 team. So it's kind of hard to give them too much credit on that.
They seem to have a strong 15 on the field again, don't they?
Yeah.
They look like they're getting back there.
Just building,
and if you get through these couple of rounds unfazed in terms of injury suspensions, bans, you know, like you're in a good place because there's so many games you can easily be decimated by the time a quarter final or a semi final comes around. If you have everyone available, it's a huge advantage.
And they've had such a bad run of it. The Paul Joyce is sitting there going, "This, please to God that's the end of horrific injury record, particularly for those key guys." We've seen glimpses, maybe 15 minutes in the Connacht final, middle of that second half, where all those boys were motoring and they looked like a serious out for the game. We all know Galway, you're waiting on the potential. The players they have on paper, the depth they have in their squad, those guys all get going. They're as good as anyone, but they just don't do it enough, or they're not available most of the time. So to get through the game last night, minutes for all of those players and a comfortable win.
Yeah. Impressive, very impressive.
He's playing well.
I didn't mean to distract you from Meath. We'll be talking about Galway again. They're into round two as the winners. For that Meath and Cork game, like, they're now going in such different directions. Meath are going into a very precarious 2B where the losers are knocked out of the All-Ireland series. You know, All-Ireland semi-finalists last year, promoted to Division 1 in the spring, dumped out of Leinster by the Leinster champions Westmeath. Meath needed a response and it looked like they were giving it, lads, but like, why did they fail to take advantage of the red card, Paddy? Did they rush shots? Did they panic? They just didn't seem to be able to get back level or back ahead for ages.
If they don't score, off everything they do is frantic.
Yeah.
Which at times can be brilliant to watch, but if they don't score after first phase, they run out of ideas.
Yeah.
And you've seen the Hail Marys, like saying, we're talking about Conlon. Yeah. He's one of the shots. Kitzler as well. Both really good players. We know they have it in their locker, but they're low percentage shots these guys are taking on. And when they go over and hit these 2-pointers, they're magic. And that is great. That's part of the game. There's that bit of risk in it. We all love that. But again, if you're 8 points up or you're a man up, you need to maybe be a bit more boring, spread the play, get bodies in deep, get bodies out wide, and just work, grind the opposition down with keeping the ball. Didn't do any of that. And it's like, that's the next stage of development. It's not great to watch, but that's part of winning football and winning big championship games. But like Meath are great, but if their only tactic for the rest of this summer is we're going to get into a shootout with everyone, I'm sorry, Meath, you ain't going to win the thing because there's other teams that are better shooters than you.
Do you know, it's actually similar, Paddy, to a bit of the Westmeath situation where they were absolutely phenomenal going on the fast attacks against Dublin and full out. But as soon as they were slowed up, they didn't really know how to how to go about it. You really do have to be adept at both ways of attacking now. And you're nearly going to have more slow attacks.
Westmeader in Division 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
The levels of the championship, we're in the All-Ireland series now. This is you're the cream of the crop here. You have to be able to play a number of different ways.
Yeah. Definitely the slow attacks, because the way most teams defend, they're going to just get that bank in front of you.
So, but Robbie Brennan will be aware of that. To me, players, it's another body blow. Can't get away from the fact, you know, 7 weeks ago, a brilliant atmosphere, the place they're in, momentum they all have. They've got to try and get that back. They're not out of this championship yet. It could be a really bad draw. They could get Kerry. You know, they could get the Rossies. You know, that's the look of the draw. They've used their, as no more so than Kerry, they've used their get out of jail card. They've got to try and figure this out. They have a couple of weeks. They still have some magic in there, but they've got to try and develop that little bit more. Composure is the boring word for it.
We're going to take a quick break on the football pod, and coming back, looking ahead to next weekend's big games, we're going to have a quick look at the Tailteann Cup, but we're not going to have a huge amount of time to get into it. There were some huge moments in the Tailteann Cup and some big wins, and we're also going to talk about Tyrone and Roscommon. But just to mention before we get there, Tyrone great Frank McGuigan has passed away, and you know, we spent a bit of time with Gavin Devlin last year at an event we did in Loud, and Gavin spoke about the influence that Frank had had on him, you know, growing up in a very similar area to him, and an absolute hero to many. An All-Ireland winner, one of Tyrone's greatest ever footballers, an All-Star in 84, won four senior titles with the club in Ardbeau in Tyrone. His four sons, Frank Jr., Brian, Tommy and Shay, all went on to win All-Ireland medals with Tyrone, five between them. And Ardbeau, O'Donovan Rossa, Ardbeau paid tribute to the King afterwards a little earlier today. And he said, the King has left the field, but his legacy lives on. One of the greatest footballers ever to wear the colours of club and county, and a true legend of Ardbeau and Tyrone. And just such sad news. You know, his playing career was cut short by a car crash, and we know he's been sick for a little while. So just thoughts with his family. And I know Tyrone paid tribute today to him in Roscommon and put on a performance afterwards too. But very sad news. And there's a brilliant piece Thomas Niblock and Oisín McConville did with Frank, I think, in the last 18 months. I watched some of it earlier on, well worth looking at. But you could tell him what you meant to Gavin back when we caught up with Gavin, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So rest in peace to Frank McGuigan, and we'll be back on the football pod just after this.
OTB GAA.
Welcome back to the football pod with Paddy Anders and James Dunley. One thing we didn't mention, actually, and it was come up a lot, and there was a lot of freeze given for it the weekend. And actually, Paddy gave a lovely little explainer for it on GA Plus the weekend. GA Plus got a lot of mentions. Screening. A lot of freeze given for screening or illegal screens this weekend or third man tackles. Paddy, you gave a beautiful little rundown.
I was going to walk off. I came into the truck and it was like, we're doing a demo. I was like, what are we doing a demo on? And it was screening. I was like, are you winding me up here? Like, Jesus
I missed it. What was your role in the role play?
I was explaining it. So it was where Michael, me and Soupy Campbell were talking through it. And no surprise, we were universal going, this is just a normal thing that happens. But we seen it in bits yesterday. So,
well, there was a lot of freeze today and a lot of very clunky third man tackles, kind of not great.
I agree. If it's clunky, Tommy, and as the demo explained, if you're changing direction or you're going in with a clothesline off the top rope, it is a free.
Yeah.
But if you're just moving the ball along and you're carrying on your run, the onus is on the defender to defend.
Tommy, you are having an input in this championship. Like, you're going to get McGuinness banned. You're going to get the screening.
He's changing the rules. You should be on the FRC.
The ref's mind every, and then you'll be picking the All-Stars at the end of the year.
You're reading it wrong, James. I'm just doing my job, pal. I'm just calling it as it is. I'm just calling it as it is. That's it. And, you know, I know the Kerry fans were very upset with me for having the temerity to ask Jack about screening a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sure, I haven't checked my Instagram DMs, I'm sure I'm getting a lot of very nice messages from Donegal fans as well. You know, it's nothing personal. It's just it's just what's happening on the field. A very entertaining championship.
Whenever someone says it's not personal, it's usually personal.
Why do you think it's personal? You've gotten to know me over the last few years.
I know the Kerry, some Kerry supporters, I'll call them, I'm not sure if that's the word, do be in your DMs. Maybe going a little bit over the top, it's not fair. And I get the same, I got the same this week after Donegal, but I was still able to...
I didn't notice anything. I've only
never read the comments, lads. I don't. Nothing good is in there. Nothing good is ever in there. No, somebody's commenting on your story. It ain't gonna be positive.
Hey, great job, Tommy. Great question.
No, it's nothing personal. That's one of them. It's like if you ever start a phrase to someone, like, please don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
Someone starts a sentence like that. That's car crash imminent.
You can say what you want after you start with that, though.
Yeah. Don't take this the wrong way. Or if you're ever in a work environment, someone says there's no bad ideas here, this is an open forum, don't come in with a bad idea.
Don't give a bad idea.
Let's fucking keep the head down. Get out of there. Get out of there, buddy.
Look, I think
anyway, the Rossies, the bubble has burst over the hide. Great game again. Jeez, they're good value.
Yeah, just
good value to watch.
We all care, and I think that's why it's it gets a little hot and heavy sometimes, but as long as it's not too toxic, we'll work away. The Rossies, lads, a big expecting crowd there again. A really good team picked. Darragh Craig and Rory Fallon added in. You could say a stronger team than the Connacht final, maybe, for that. They're in a good position at numerous times, but much like Meath, I think their decision making when the game was in the melting pot down the stretch was just not good enough. And actually, Tyrone were brilliant. They looked quite leggy. Late on, I thought they were going to get caught. Late on, I thought they looked a little bit tired. Maybe that was the sun today. It was very hot conditions, obviously. But late on, the dancing feet of Owen McElholm, who, like, the spinner he curls over with 10 minutes to go. Doesn't make any sense how he, like, manipulated his way through three bodies, curled it up into the air, and it drops. It's like a little flop shot. And then how he wins a free in the D, 30 yards out, like, with 24, 30 seconds to go. I think there's actually 50 seconds to go. Game over. Like, that's it. After Paul Carey nails a clutch two-pointer, you think the game is going to extra time, and the Rossies will probably have the legs, because they do have legs in extra time. But they're caught. They'll be devastated.
Yeah,
they'll be good. And the curse of teams who win things, Paddy. You know, John Fogarty was writing about this this week. You win a league title, you win a provincial championship, you're in danger of getting caught, and it's been happening for the last couple of seasons.
Was it McElholm standing up in the absence of the Canavans, and a lot of the Tyrone team standing up, that the wheels were in danger of coming off this thing for them. Bad league campaign, lots of negative energy, should I say, around the camp, kind of hearing different things. And it didn't make sense, because you're looking at Malik O'Rourke as one of the best coaches in the game. They've got really good players. They've got these young up-and-comers like McElholm, one of the brightest stars in the under-8 scene over the last few years. He thought these are nailed on to get promoted to Division 1 and really kick on, having made an honour in the semi-final last year, but it's a bad season to date. He saw glimpses of it against Armagh in the preliminary in Ulster, but they were beaten, and then they 5 weeks off. So we were kind of going, tough draw for them as well, going over to the Connacht champions, but went out and performed. They were the better team throughout. Rossies, it was a hangover from them. There's no doubt about it. It was reminiscent of what we've seen. This was the danger. We said it on last week's show. Incredible scenes. You know, brilliant win for them. What a week for Roscommon football, winning the minors at 20 and then winning the senior, beating Galway. But there was a danger of just losing that little bit of focus and reaching that emotional high today. Westmeath are going to face that chance. Westmeath have Cavan at home, which is an easier game with all respect than the playing Tyrone. But Tyrone were full value for that win. Rossi still had their moments, because they're going to have that. Heenan was at it again. That just pace. Jesus Christ, he's such an exciting player. Enda Smith, again, has big moments. We know that from him. But they were a bit sloppy in possession. They were a little bit looser. And Tyrone, to their credit, have showed themselves what we've kind of been waiting on them, that they have the potential. And we're talking about Meade lacking that, maybe that little bit of nous. I thought Tyrone showed at different stages today. And they'd have been disappointed if he didn't get over the line, because it was a good performance. And all of a sudden, their season is looking a lot brighter if they can get, obviously, the Canavans back as well. And build on that performance. Get some consistency into their play. That's the difference between these teams. Like, Cork have a brilliant win yesterday. You don't know what you're going to get from them the next day. Tyrone, what are we going to get from them? The Rossies, all these pretenders trying to get into the top tier. The difference between the likes of a Donegal and maybe some of these teams that we're talking about, because the Rossies were on giving us loads of lip as well, going, oh, we're going to win the All-Ireland. It's like, the best teams are consistently performing. every day. That's why they're the best teams. That's why they're in Division One. That's why they're competing to win the All-Ireland. There's not a whole pile, believe it or not, between, you know, the top maybe 8 or 10 teams. The things that separates them is consistently being able to deliver performances. Malik O'Rourke's going to be looking at their own team going, if we're going to move on to the next level, we beat the Connacht champions away from home. We're good enough to be in the mix here, but we need to deliver performance the next day. We don't know if they will, but today was a very sad day for Tyrone, but for them to deliver that performance, led by the likes of McElhone, that feels like nearly on a coming of age performance, but like, there's we're missing our key guys. I'm going to stand up. Conn Kilpatrick was brilliant as well.
He was class. Yeah, they took their goals so well as well, James. Ronan Cassidy playing 11 took it brilliantly. All McElhone's finishes from about 15 yards out. And then just when the Rossies get their noses in front in the second half, a boomer of a kick out to midfield, a brilliant kick into the full forward line. Enda Smith times his little jump perfectly and puts away a lovely goal. Gara Heenan, it's a great finish. Conor Carroll, unfortunately, gets caught with a kick out. And we're seeing a lot of keepers now, like Niall Morgan takes a couple of risks and gets away with them. Keepers have to take risks to try and find their cornerbacks, but maybe Carroll picked the wrong moment to go short because Tyrone come in and get a goal through Matty Donnelly. And that was just a huge moment with about 15, 20 minutes to go when they definitely were tiring. Maybe keepers just need to go a bit longer, pick their moments, the momentum. I don't know. Conor Carroll, for me, has been the keeper of the provincial championship so far. So, you know, it's harsh, but kicked a couple of great two-pointers too. But I didn't
see the game, Tom, but can I ask you a question on it?
Yeah.
In terms of Tyrone, defensively, did they press high in general or did they tend to sag back, or do they even go on spells? Because the couple of times I've seen them, when they sag back, I just think they give too much respect to the opposition. So when I saw the result, I was wondering, did they just go at it? Did they finally just push up?
There's probably a bit of both at play here. One of the features of the game was the amount of blocks that was happening. You know, Senan Lam makes two, Dara Heenan makes one brilliant diving block as well. Couple of the Tyrone boys are doing it. They put serious pressure and heat on. Kieran McGeary was tagging Derek Craig aggressively for a lot of the second half, and Craig couldn't really get an inch.
That's what you got to do.
At times, in certain pockets of the field, he was definitely on him. And then, you know, Murta again had a very good game, but is well shackled whenever he's in shooting territory. So I think, I think you're right, James. I'll have to watch back and just see exactly what way they had set up defensively, but there certainly was a feeling in that game that both sides were putting serious heat on the shooters out the field.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to say as well, if Roscommon, if you're saying that they were missing shots and taking wrong options towards the end, is that a case of, you know, your experience in the big games? Like they need to get, I think this year Roscommon, they need to get, however they do it,
semi-final.
Just get into a semi-final. Yeah. At least then you've been around it. It's like a milestone they need to get to, and they keep missing out.
What else, Jimmy? If you get to a semi-final, they'll have to have won two big championship matches and won a big one in Croke Park, which they haven't done.
So
that's, I agree. It's the nature of just the development of a team. That's where probably Meade probably jumped the gun a bit last year. They were ahead of schedule. They beat Kerry and then they beat Galway in the quarterfinal in Croker and got to a semi-final. They lost about 20 points, but the Rossies, genuinely the next stage of that brilliant provincial championship win. That's why it's so disappointing for them today. You know what it is. And it's the danger for Westmeath after their heroic scenes. We seen it with Loud last year. Is that enough? Is that kind of, are we satisfied with that this year or are we not? Yeah. So, again, Rossies are looking at that draw tomorrow. It can go either way. Is it not tomorrow?
No, it's next week.
You're
doing the Touch and Cup draw tomorrow, buddy.
I'm doing a draw tomorrow. So it's the Touch and Cup. Okay.
Yeah, the All Ireland draw will be after Tuesday the next four games. Yeah. Is it Tuesday week? Okay.
So next week.
Yeah, after the eight games are played, so there's four more games left next weekend that we're gonna just touch on.
Are we doing it?
I couldn't tell you.
Virgin, is it something on Virgin? I think I heard.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Is Morning Ireland on Virgin?
No, it's RTE, buddy.
Is it?
Okay,
hardly have. Tommy Murray doing the draw.
I just want to just go and Tyrone. What a response! And the last couple of weeks. You two, I can't keep up with the two of you, and I'm trying to just keep manners on you here. Tyrone's response, you know, and they definitely had injury troubles over the last 6 weeks. That's a massive win, a massive shot in the arm. They go into to round 2A alongside Donegal, Cork and Galway. It's a really good place to be. And now Roscommon, Meath, Kerry, Kildare, who are probably the lowest ranked team alongside Cavan in it, are in round 2B, which is going to be a knockout round. And that draw will be in, 8 days from now or 9 days from now. The Tatchin Cup draw is next week. So the round 2A winners, some big, big results here. Fermanagh upsetting the odds with a big win against Wexford, 220 to 213. Antrim taking down Tipperary, who had a great win the last day out, 412 to 212. Evan O'Carroll on fire for Laois, kicked 1-5, a 15-point win against London. And Offaly, lads, Dylan Hyland's free. Just seen has it. To be
spot. Oh,
seen it.
What on earth is happening? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, what a kick.
But the technique, it was absolutely sumptuous, but it was surely the wrong.
He scored.
I know, but he's gone outside of the left nearly with an off the grounder. It was absolutely stunning kick. But you think he'd give himself a better angle by doing a traditional shot from that angle?
I love to see it.
It looked great. It was
phenomenal.
Who did the video? Did you say Mark sent you the video, Tommy?
Who did?
Was that Mort? That was a Mort video.
Mort and Roy had shared it. I can't remember who I saw it on, but
great footage, whoever that is.
To aim into like the size of a coin to get it to go over
like
from there with that technique. Well, it was unbelievable.
We're raving, lads. We're raving about it.
Was it AI? Yeah,
it looked like AI. I do have to say, I got such a laugh out of that AI photo of all your pundits in Killarney. I did get a good laugh at it.
There wasn't that many. They put in another three or four.
Yeah, but it was believable. It was believable.
I thought it was real.
Look, a little old me all on my own. I was on my own, Paddy.
It was cozy around the little desk.
I could have done with a bit of help. Dylan Hyland kicked 111, lads. Stephen Sherlock at 14 against Meath. Dylan Hyland kicked 111 as Offaly took down. Down with a pretty decent team out as well. Beaten there. So Down go into round three, which... what else happened? Round 2B, Longford have not clear out. Waterford are out. Sligo, 29 points. Waterford, 312. And Wicklow with a fabulous win against Limerick, 417 to 214. They had goals from Owen Murta, Dean Healy, Padraig O'Toole and Malachy Stone. And then Leitrim with a big win against the Division 4 champions, Carlow, who are gone now for the summer. I wonder how many of the boys will be off to the States. They're wrapped up on the 24th of May. And as we mentioned, the round 2A losers will be paying the round 2B winners. Tomorrow, that draw will be made. Paddy, I hope you do it at the start of the show and not the end, like you did the last time.
Got to keep people on their toes, Tommy.
Got a bit of trouble. And we'll also have one of the 2A winners. Paddy, this is complicated, so you better do your work in the morning. One of the 2A winners will be drawn against New York. So a bit of extra homework for you tonight. Now, this weekend, boys.
I'll just read the teleprompter, Tommy. Ron Burgundy. Whatever's on that, I'll read it, baby.
We didn't do predictions last week. Before we go on, James, I know there's probably you're still away and you've got things to organise and get sorted with. And I think the sun has maybe just gone down. But I want to get your predictions, boys, because we actually relinquished our responsibilities last week by not putting our necks in the chopping block. For the four.
I said Donegal would win.
I was with you. But the four All-Ireland games. So was week. Okay. Round the houses. Armagh Derry.
But that'll be a good match. We're doing that game in the Athletic Grounds. That'll be a good match.
Can I just say that I think Derry might cause an upset here?
Of course you can, Tommy. You're the star of the show, baby.
Dublin Loud. I'm going to get straight in here because I ended the last one. Loud are going to beat the Dubs.
You backed them last time as well, Tom.
They're going to flip the script on that. Appalling. I'm actually going to use the word pathetic again. Pathetic performance against Dublin a couple of weeks
Deplorable.
Ago.
Deplorable. That's in Croker on Sunday. That's in Croker on Sunday on its own. I honestly think there'll be less than 10,000 people at that match.
Yeah, no.
See, like Dubs, like Kilkenny and the Hurling in Parnell Park today. Class. Hey,
the Dubs are back. House. Beautiful.
Dublin's a hurling county now.
Incredible.
I think Dublin are going to win that.
James.
Where's it on?
Croker. Empty Croke Park.
COVID Croke Park.
I think Dublin will win.
And do you think the Dublin fans will turn up this time?
No. No interest.
Paddy?
They don't. There'll be nobody there.
This nonsense chat. Derogatory comments towards Dublin supporters.
They won't be there. If there's any fear, they're not going to be there.
Okay.
There is.
One place. Okay, Croke Park maybe next to empty on Sunday. One place that won't be empty is TEG Cusick Park, because Westmead Cavan sold out in about 15 minutes. I'm going Westmead here.
Yeah. But there's a caveat here. They've been enjoying it, as they should. Rightly, as they should. Saints came to Louth win last year, and Louth didn't raise a gallop in the All-Ireland Series. So it's a good draw for Westmead, with all due respect to Cavan, but...
Can Cavan catch them? James?
Cavan were in Division 2, like. Yeah. Westmead didn't get out of Division 3, so it's like...
This is spicy.
There's a lot of momentum behind Westmead. We're doing that game as well. That's the two games we're doing on Saturday. I think Westmead have enough, but it's not straightforward there. Like.
I think I agree. I think Westmead... It's impossible not to back Westmead now. Like, it just depends if they tore the arse out of it completely after winning Leinster, which they probably did. But I still think they have enough in attack to do it. But if I was Cavan, I would
it's
be
a good
just
game for them as well, yeah.
I'd be slowing down every single attack.
Yeah.
Because Dublin proved that Westmead struggled with that. I'd be slowing down every attack, making them think about all their attacks rather than the off the cuff stuff that their brilliant footballers seem to be so good at. If they can slow them down, they have a great chance to catch them on the hop. But they'll back Westmead.
Around Connell and midfield for Westmead, that was such a... Like, Dublin were diabolical there after Patter went off injured in their own kick-out. So Cavan won't be as bad as that again. So it's a good... talk about a team coming under the radar. It's a brilliant game for Cavan going in there as well. So
agreed.
But it should be a good match.
James, I'm going to start with you here for the last game. Mayo travelling to Clonus to take on Monaghan. I think I'm covering this one for Off the Ball. What do you think is going to happen here?
Oh, that is so tough. Is there another kick in Monaghan? There probably is. We haven't heard much coming out of Mayo in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, their conference would have been completely dented. They've all been questioned. Andy Moran's been questioned. I fancy Mayo, though. I'm going to say Mayo to go up and get a result in Clonus. I think Monaghan, after losing the Ulster final, might just find it hard to get back up.
Yeah.
I'll back Mayo to go and get the result. But again,
I've learned
lottery. Honestly, these predictions are impossible. So hard.
I've learned you can't trust your eyes when it comes to GA injuries and seeing fellas in boots on a Friday and playing football on a Sunday, or fellas on crutches leaving Clonus last week and being available to play this weekend. But I do think Monaghan will suffer from going back to back in extra time in games, and I think Mayo will win this one, and I'm actually going to say that I think two of the four games this weekend are going to be decided on extra time, and I think this might be one of them. I think Monaghan could be fated to go to extra time one more time and Mayo get over the line. Paddy, what do you reckon?
Mayo will win this comfortably.
Oof.
Oof.
They beat them by 150 points in the league.
The league.
Forget the league.
No, I'm just putting it in there. Mayo... As bad as the second half against the Rossies were, they had a lot of positive signs in the league as well. Like, they're not as bad as that second half display against Roscommon. And again, you're expecting a bounce back from them. Monaghan have had a roller coaster over the last 4 weeks. I don't know if they have the emotional pitch and the depth of their squad to go again. Whereas you've got to expect Mayo have a kick in them. I think Mayo will win this match.
Do you know, Andy... Andy's going to be... That team selection is important, because he's being questioned, obviously, about bringing back some of the experienced fellas. It'd be interesting to see if he sticks with it or doubles down, or if he goes with, I think, kind of... Not what the Mayo people want, but they seem to want some fresh names there, don't they? They're kind of giving out that Andy's going back to the tried and trusted. So that team selection... is going to be very interesting to see who he goes with.
Yeah, I think it is going to be very interesting. We should get the teams on Thursday night. We get at least the full panel on a Friday at midday from the media. I think there's a little bit more room for, you know, a little bit more build-up to these games at the weekend as well. I know you boys...
Well, hey, tell me, just tune into the view on Friday on GAA Plus YouTube channel. There's the whole build-up to all the games.
Oh, what's that, $29.99, isn't it, just for the one?
No, it's free. Totally okay. Free. Totally okay. Free. Have you the internet?
Paddy Andrews. James O'Donoghue. Thanks for...
100 pundits, Tom.
100. Appreciate it. Thanks for not...
Tommy, thank you.
Thanks for not...
Thank you, Tommy. Pierce. Thank you for your sterling work in the journalist profession.
I did not... I did.
You're asking the tough questions.
I did
you're
very little.
Pierce Morgan, the Irish Pierce Morgan.
Tommy will have the biggest say on this championship out of every player, manager, supporter.
James, we know last
Tommy,
year.
Would you come on The View? Would you come
big,
on with
big
us?
Influence last year too. Big influence last year too.
Would you come on and say a few words on The View? Come on.
No. Lads, thanks for not ducking and dodging my questions like you do most weeks and like some people try to do as well. So we'll let you go.
Ooh.
Talk soon. Good.
Jimmy, enjoy the night over Lanzarote.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, have a great time.
Never read the comments.
Thanks to all for tuning in. Boys, thanks for the good work this week. We'll catch up soon. Great football.
Thanks, Pierce.
Fair play, boys.